Brown joining us right now to talk about who they might take on the offensive side of the football. Check out his podcast, Locked On Broncos. Cody Rourke joins us. Cody, thanks for taking the time. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you, gentlemen, for having me here once again. A lot of opportunities for Denver to take a look at some other guys. Justin Fields having his second pro day today, so he's going to, you know, the Broncos brass are going to be out there. Pat Shurmur is going to be out there. They're going to be keeping an eye on him. Also, A.J. Durso, one of the Broncos player personnel directors, will be out there as well. So, I mean, will Justin Fields be in play for Denver? I don't know.
Who do you think might be in play for Denver at number nine of the quarterbacks? Will there be any of them in play at that point in time?
I don't think so. No, not unless you're comfortable. You know, here's how I see the board falling. I think that we're all in consensus that Trevor Lawrence going one to Jacksonville, number two, Zach Wilson to the Jets. I think at number three, I think that the 49ers, they're doing a lot of smokescreening with Mac Jones. I think it's going to be Justin Fields or Trey Lance. I think Atlanta is really going to focus on quarterback as well. So one of those players, Trey Lance or Justin Fields, will be available there at four. I think they go there. And Cincinnati, they got to go on the offensive side of the ball. They need to bring Joe Burrow some help in terms of protecting. I think Penei Sewell will go there. And then with your next pick, Detroit, I think they're going to go wide receiver. Miami's going to go with wide receiver. Detroit's going to go with wide receiver. And then at number eight, I think that you're going to see the New England Patriots try to trade up, and they might even get a guy like Mac Jones. It depends on who's available. So I think for Denver, where they're at, or if Carolina stays put at eight, I see them taking Rashawn Slater, offensive tackle out of Northwestern. So for Denver, when they're on the clock, it leaves a lot of opportunity for them to go best player available. And Jim, I don't know if you had a chance to go on the YouTube channel and see the Behind the Broncos where George Payton even said, with the moves that we've made so far this offseason, we have the opportunity to go best player available.
So, in your opinion, it's not a we're all in on getting a quarterback, going to trade up, maybe try to trade with the Falcons at number four. You feel like it's going to be, we're going to stay at number nine. We'll see what comes to us at number nine, and we'll go from there.
I think really what happens is they're going to find out. The Broncos, when the draft happens, they're going to figure out what Atlanta wants to do well before the 49ers pick. So I think that Denver, probably around, once the draft even starts at pick number one, I think that Denver's going to be on the, you know, on the phones really talking with Atlanta saying, hey, can we move up? Is it going to be worth it to move up? You know, it really depends on where Atlanta is thinking. But Denver's going to be very active on the phones, and I think that's going to start at the very beginning of the draft. And even leading up to the day before the draft, Denver's going to be on the phone. They're going to gauge and look at every avenue. And I think that for them, they are going to inquire about quarterback. They're going to take a chance at maybe seeing what it would take to move up from nine to maybe four at that point. And we'll see what happens from there. But it really depends on where those teams really want to go.
Cody Rourke, host of the Locked On Broncos podcast, joining us today on the Team Sports Network. And it's hard to get a real sense of, you know, like everybody right now, everybody's playing poker. It's that time of the year. Every front office guy and every head coach are playing poker in regard to what's going to happen with the draft. You just get a sense, at least on the surface from George Payton, that it's tough to get a read, right? Because they passed on Andy Dalton. They passed on Mitchell Trubisky. There are veteran guys out there that they could have brought in that they chose not to because they didn't feel like it was, in their opinion, a clear enough upgrade over what they currently have. More truth that George Payton really likes Drew Lock, or more truth that he's playing his cards close to the vest. They hope to make a deal, and they hope to draft a quarterback. You think it's more the first thing, right, that he really does like what he sees from Drew Lock?
I think it's a little bit of both. And what tells me that, too, and George has said, you know, here's the deal. Drew's got some intangibles to him. There's things that he does really well, but he has to improve and being more consistent and, obviously, his decision-making. But, you know, what he said in his opening press conference is, we're going to be in on every deal. We're going to be aggressive, but we're not going to be reckless. And we've seen that this offseason. When Matthew Stafford became available, the Broncos, they picked up the phone and said, hey, what would it take to be able to bring Matthew Stafford to Denver? And then the Detroit Lions, they countered by saying, hey, we want a first-round pick, we want a second-round pick, we want Drew Lock, and we also want Jerry Jeudy for Matthew Stafford. Denver, at that point, they said, no, we're not going to do that. We wanted, you know, the idea was to bring in Matthew Stafford to kind of mold Drew Lock. That was the hope. That's what the Broncos wanted to do when they initially picked up the phone with the Lions. Unfortunately, it didn't work out that way. So then, you know, they had a couple of exploratory calls. They talked with the Eagles, and they decided that, you know, hey, I think we're better off with Drew Lock than we would be with Carson Wentz. So so they didn't pursue any kind of trade with them. Denver, you know, they had exploratory talks about Sam Darnold as well. They heard the price point and said, we're not going to do that. We're going to look at our other options. So it tells me that George Payton sees what Drew Locke has done so far and says, hey, look, he has the potential to maybe be something, but he needs to be pushed a little bit. And this is where I'm not surprised if the Broncos do trade up to try to get a quarterback, Jim. I think that we're going to have a training camp competition between Drew Locke and a rookie, and that's going to be the writing on the wall. You know, this is it for Drew Locke. You know, the pressure is on him. You know, when he's been in Denver, every single day he's been in Denver, he's been at the team facility. Right now he's in Missouri. He's throwing with his own personal trainer, his quarterback trainer right now. But, yeah, I think that we're going to see a lot of these decisions come down the pike. And, Jim, I can tell you this, George Payton has been very tight-lipped on a lot of things right now, which is good because you always see these leaks come out, you know, a week and a half before the draft, and it can ruin your draft board and your plans.
Cody York, host of the Locked On Broncos podcast, joining us today on the Team Sports Network. Let's go 1 to 10, 1 being the worst, 10 being the best. On that scale, where do you think and it doesn't have to be at number 9. Maybe they trade up with the Falcons to number 4. The chances the Broncos draft a quarterback in the first round, 1 to 10.
I think it's about a 7. Okay. I think we're at a 7 here. You know, because Denver, you know, Jim, Denver's not in a position right now where they have to draft based on a need. That's the good thing about it. They have every option on the table right now. They can trade back if they want to. They can trade up. They can stay put. Denver's okay with either option, but if they really feel comfortable with the guy potentially being there, if they can convince the Atlanta Falcons to trade back, Denver will make that move. If they believe that the guy that they want to move up for is going to be there, they believe that he can maybe be the guy, they're going to do that. If not, they're going to stay put, or if they get the opportunity to receive extra capital, not just this year, but maybe next year and future years, they're also going to look at that as well. But, you know, I think that if the Broncos are looking at anything, Jim, I'd give it about a 7 when it comes to quarterback right now.
Trevor Lawrence will be gone. Zach Wilson gone. All the guys left. Fields, Jones, Lance. If the Broncos draft a quarterback, which one of those three would you like to see in a Denver uniform?
You know, I think for me, just going back and doing my film study, the one player out of those three that you mentioned would be Justin Fields. You know, and he's got a very high cerebral IQ, and there's a lot of reports for some reason leaking out that he doesn't like football, but it's completely untrue. And, you know, Dan Orlovsky had put that out there. This is a guy that, you know, is not, you know, he doesn't seem like he loves football, but he's the one player at Ohio State that was advocating and banging the table for them to be able to play college football this past season. So Justin Fields, I think he has the cerebral IQ to be able to be a very good quarterback. He's got the athletic traits to be able to do some nice things. And he's going to have some refinement along the way. But every quarterback in this year's draft will have to have some refinement along the way because they are rookies. Regardless of what they did at college, the NFL is a different game, and you have to adapt. And I think that Justin Fields is probably more well-equipped than those other two quarterbacks right there opposite of him.
All right, so say it's not a quarterback. Who would Cody Ork like to see the Broncos take at number 9, non-quarterback offensive side of the football?
Well, you know, I think defensively the options are on the table. I've been a big fan. Jim, I've been watching a lot of Notre Dame film the last couple of weeks, and I tell you what, the idea of Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah coming to Denver has been very intriguing to me. You know, Denver, they do need some help at linebacker because Josie Jewell-Alexander Johnson, this is a contract year for both of those guys, and then they have Justin Sternett on the roster who they believe can be a coverage backer, but you need more depth there. We saw that with Denver. You know, you can never have enough linebacker depth. Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah can be a guy that can play inside the slot at some times. You can line him up there. He's that hybrid Kareem Jackson-type player. Now, not necessarily a cornerback, but he's got the ability to be an in-box, off-ball linebacker and a, you know, safety at the next level, at the third level there. He's got the opportunity and the intangibles to do both of that. And what he was able to do in two seasons at Notre Dame, super impressive. Outside of that cornerback, you know, I'm a big Caleb Farley guy. You know, I think he's the most athletic and, you know, traditionally talented cornerback in this year's draft from an athletic standpoint. But J.C. Horn's not too far behind him as well. That's my cornerback, too. So I think the options are open for Denver. I would be happy with any of those choices that they make. They'd be very fun additions to watch.
So I get your feeling is you would rather see them go defense than offense. Or is there anybody on the offensive side, excluding quarterbacks, that you would take, like a Penei Sewell, that you would take over any of those defensive players?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, I think for Denver, Jim, in my opinion, the best-case scenario for the Broncos is if Penei Sewell dropped to them in 9. that would be the best case scenario, because then they could lock up a tackle for the next decade with he and obviously having Garrett Bowles and that offensive line. I think it would be really solidified, because after this year, Denver is going to be done with Juwan James. Regardless of how he plays this year, there is not a lot of trust inside the organization for James, and we still don't know. You know, he says he's going to play. We don't know if that's actually going to be the case, though. Denver, they're going to look to the future there. And I think for Penei Sewell, how strong he is, how smart he is, and how much he loves football, and how much of a great teammate he is, and a good player at the tackle position. I think Mike Munchak would have so much fun with him being at that right tackle. He'd have to slide from left tackle to right tackle, though, making that transition. What better way to have it than having Mike Munchak as your O-line coach?
Locked On Broncos podcast host Cody Work with us today on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. I just want your thoughts about the announcements that the Broncos put out, the players put out through the NFLPA, and they're not the only one. Seattle, Tampa Bay, your defending Super Bowl champions, their players are all saying that they're going to pass on in-person workouts. The only part of the three-phase offseason workouts is that three-day mandatory camp. The rest of it's voluntary. I guess just your takeaway, I mean, we have guys like J.C. Treader, who's the head of the players' union, plays for the Browns, who has said that he doesn't feel there's the need for in-person off-season workouts. The virtual stuff worked well enough last year dealing with COVID. I guess your takeaway on it and the pros and cons of not having in-person workouts, at least early on this off-season.
Yeah, and you're going to see a lot of people freaking out on social media about them not doing this, saying, oh, they're a 5-11 football team. Well, the difference is voluntary team workouts is bringing 90 players to the facility to do their strength and conditioning program. It's not there's no install. There's no offensive, defensive install sessions. These are workouts. These are, you know, the team strength and conditioning program. Last year, the NFL, they had to send players a $1,500 stipend so they could get their own home gym equipment to be able to implement some of the virtual workouts over Zoom with their strength and conditioning coach. This is actually getting guys into the building. Now, the NFL's plan was saying, hey, you know, here Monday, voluntary team workouts. Everybody come and go straight into sprints. But there was no testing protocol, no testing policy in place. If you've been following Broncos players on social media, various guys have been in and out of the country in the last couple of weeks. And that causes, obviously, an issue when it comes to safety. And not everybody's vaccinated yet. So Brennan McManus, Justin Simmons, Malik Reed, they talked on the NFLPA call with players. Not every player on the Broncos was in agreement with the decision, but they all decided, ultimately, the majority said, hey, you know, these are voluntary workouts. We don't feel like the NFL has put a plan into place to make us safe to be able to come into the team facility. There was no process or protocol. So, Jim, I think that the NFL needs to find a way to make it, you know, more structured and safe, especially as we have OTAs, that mandatory minicamp that's coming up shortly after the NFL draft, to be able to get guys in the building to do the install. That didn't happen last year. They have an opportunity to make that happen this year, and that is what's the most important part, because then it gets the players on the facility, gets them working with their coaches, and it gets them on the field doing install, something that they did not get last year. That's where the hope should be, not angry at voluntary workouts where you're coming in the facility. Players are still in the facility every single day working out. You know, they're coming on their own. But the 90 players, that's not going to happen.
Yeah, I just think, yeah, for those that are overreacting on this, calm down, people. Calm down, okay? It's really not that big of a deal. One of our listeners did text in about Peyton Manning spending some time working with Drew Locke. I guess just your takeaway on that. You know, I think it's great that Peyton is doing that, and I know they've had a connection before, Drew and Peyton, in regard to talking, you know, all things quarterback. But it's good that Peyton's doing that, but it doesn't mean that all of a sudden, boom, Drew Locke is going to be the answer at quarterback just because he's been in the same physical space, if you will, with a first ballot Hall of Famer like Peyton Manning.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You're spot on. You know, it's great that he's working with Drew Locke. And Peyton's had a lot of praise for Drew, and they've been in contact. They were in contact all, you know, last year. But this year it's kind of more, a cerebral approach as to how did Peyton Manning prepare for the game, right? And he even reached out to Dalton Risner, Drew Locke, and said, hey, you know, I want to know a little bit more about protection schemes. I want to go over these with you. I want to make sure that we're all on the same page. He's doing those necessary things. But none of that matters if he can't come out on the football field in training camp, regardless of who's at quarterback competition with him. If he can't do that, you know, there's not going to be a long-term sustainability for him to be the guy. So, you know, it's nice that he's working with Peyton. Hopefully he can gain something out of it. And, you know, maybe we'll see a change in the on-field product, but there's a lot to be determined on that.
Cody Rourke joining us today on the Team Sports Network. Cody, as I mentioned, you host the Locked On Broncos podcast. You can find that where you get your favorite podcast. Anything else you want to tell our listeners about to make sure they need to check out at your site?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, obviously outside of Locked On Broncos in an audio podcast format, I've now moved the podcast. We do it also in video as well on the YouTube channel, Locked On Broncos. You want to watch the video. Sometimes we'll do some live streams. You can share your Broncos thoughts on air. We'll react to it. We'll get you on there as well. But just want to make it more interactive for the fans. So if you like Broncos talk from an objective standpoint, I try to do my best to bring that to you guys there. Locked On Broncos on YouTube.